Welcome to Christ Community Church's Message of the Week. Who are angels and what do they do? Join us today as Dr. Charity Verkler-Kayembe shares her message titled, Everyday Angels.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. It is awesome to be with you. We've had an amazing weekend. Thank you so much to Pastor Dave, Pastor Sherry, Pastor John, Nancy. We've really enjoyed getting to know your team here. They are an amazing blessing. I know you guys are, it is such a gift to have them. Every single week you get to be with these guys. So yay for you. God is good. We were talking about hearing God through our dreams this weekend, and I'm really excited this morning to kind of just continue our journey into the sacred supernatural. I'm from upstate New York, and that's where we live now, but I've done a lot of traveling, like all over the world, because I really believe missions is the heartbeat of God. So I love missions, and we know God is all about every nation, every tribe, every people, every language. And so whenever I had the opportunity, I would always go. Wherever God was doing something, I wanted to go have an adventure with him. And I actually was planning on living on the mission field full time, but instead God brought Africa to me. My husband Leo is from Zambia, South Central Africa. So that's how that worked out. Especially, even before we got married, I would go on short-term missions trips, you know, maybe a few weeks here or a couple of months. And one time that took us to an unreached people group in the Okavango Delta. We were camping out in tents in the middle of the Kalahari. We were showing the Jesus film to villagers, and they were getting saved. And we were able to help plant a church among this unreached people group. So now they're reached. And it's so exciting to be used by God in that way. And another time, we did a prayer walking trip in the Middle East. Closed country, it's very Muslim, you know, the things blare, you know, when it's time to pray. Everybody brings out their mats, you know, right in the middle of the streets and the sidewalks, and they're praying to Allah, but we were praying to Jesus, and we were just shifting the atmosphere through our intercession, because we're carriers of heaven. This is the kingdom of heaven right here, right? Because God is inside of us. So everywhere where the sole of our foot tread, that was holy ground. So we were taking it for the kingdom. So that was really awesome too. But one of my most favorite kind of 007 missions adventures was into a closed country in Asia. And we were living in the neighboring country, so it was more free. And we wanted to get books in the people's heart language, actually Bibles. We wanted to get Bibles into the country that was closed, because the government said they couldn't have Bibles, and we thought they should be able to have some. So we kind of smuggled them. We carried them across the border. And it was really exciting. It was a little bit nerve-wracking, though, too. But, you know, we would fill up our backpacks, like full of bread. That was the code word for our Bibles. Okay, full of bread. And then we had our jackets were like bulging with tracks. We put all these tracks, and those were the crumbs. Okay, so we had our bread and our crumbs that we were smuggling across the border. And so you get to the border, and it's kind of like, you know, at the airports, there's the security and there's the x-ray machines you have to walk through, but then there's the scanners, and you have to put your luggage on the scanners and they can see everything that's inside, which we did not want them to be able to do, because then they would confiscate everything. So, I mean, it's a little bit like the airport, except for the security guards had AK-47s. Okay, so that was a little bit different from the airport. We had this big strategy, our brilliant strategy for getting the past the guards and getting our Bibles into the country without getting them confiscated. We were just going to play dumb. Okay, because what happens is first you go to the guy and he stamps your passport. Okay, and then you have to go through the security place with the x-ray machines. So what we did, this is our brilliant idea, we're just like, oh, we got the passport stamp? This is awesome. And we're just consumed by the passport and looking at our new stamp and just ignoring all of this and totally just like not looking that way and pretending, oh, we didn't realize we were supposed to go over there and through the scanners. And we just kind of walked right out the building. And so in that moment, that was the plan, but you're still a little bit like, okay, I hope this works, right? But, you know, God says, don't look at the things that are seen, right? He said, when you set your mind on the flesh in this natural realm, it's death, right? We get overwhelmed, we get stressed out. We're supposed to keep seeking the things above and set our mind on the spirit, and we're supposed to look at the things that are unseen. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:18. So I decided in that moment, let me quiet myself down. Let me just, okay, let me look into the spirit. Let me see what I can see. Because if I look at the natural, AK-47s, okay? And that's not going to generate peace and joy. So let me change my focus. Let me set my mind on the spirit. Because righteousness, peace, and joy, that's the kingdom of God. So God wants us not stressed out. He wants us in peace, right? Not afraid. He wants us in joy. So I'm like, okay, how do I get into peace and joy? Let me see what I can see. And so I looked into the spirit realm. And I saw my angels. And they were running interference for me. This was very encouraging. I have two guardian angels. They're big. They're strong. Guardian angels, they're kind of like the older brother that you always wish you had, or the best version of your very best friend. And so I always see my guardian angels whenever I look for them. I don't always see them, but I see them whenever I look for them. So I had to quiet down and look with my spiritual eyes into the spirit realm. And I saw them and I was like, okay, good. We're good to go. Because there's the guards with the guns, but here are my guardian angels. And I'm way over here. So they were running interference and they were blocking me from the guard's view. And so the guards never even stopped me because I don't believe they've never even saw me, right? Because I was blocked, I was protected, I was guarded. And that's what scripture says. God has given his angels charge over us to guard us in all of our ways, right? The angels of God are encamped round about us. And so we know that's biblical truth. So we can take the next step and look into the spirit to actually see that spiritual reality because we know they're absolutely there. So that's what we want to talk a little bit about this morning is the ministry of angels, how God can use them in our lives, because that's one example of how he did. And that wasn't the only time he did. We actually went back and forth across this border several times over a few day period. And every single time, my angels, we were cooperating and co-laboring in this great co-mission, okay? So we were partnering together to bring the gospel and to advance God's kingdom. And so it's not just us and it's not just angels. We work together with the company of heaven, and that's how it can work. So, you know, what does the Bible have to say about angels? And does it say very much? Yeah, it actually does. When we look at the verses about seraphim and cherubim and angels, you know, we actually can find 365 references to angels in the Bible. Okay, that's a lot. And there are, you know, while most books in the Bible at least mention angels, there are whole chapters, okay, and even whole books that are devoted to angelic interaction, like Zechariah, like the first six chapters of the book of Zechariah, that's a back and forth conversation with an angel, right? Or we look in Daniel and there's chapter after chapter after conversation after interaction after revelation from angels. And then in the New Testament too, right? We've got the book of Revelation, 22 chapters, and that's all. That's full of angels, right? What angels are doing, what angels are saying, what angels are singing, and John is interacting with this angelic realm. So we see this is from Genesis to Revelation. We've got angels in the Bible, and it's pretty interesting too that they are actually mentioned more in the New Testament than the Old Testament. And the New Testament's even shorter than the Old Testament. So that's a little bit surprising because, you know, we might be tempted to say, well, angels, maybe God used angels in the Old Testament, but, you know, not so much anymore because, hello, we have God in us, right? Jesus is in our hearts. We're anointed with Holy Spirit. You know, why would we possibly need angels now, right, in the New Covenant? But are there examples of believers, followers of Christ in the New Covenant who have Jesus in their hearts, who have been anointed with the Holy Spirit, but they still receive the ministry of angels? God still sent angels to assist them and to serve them. Well, yeah, there's actually a lot of examples in the Bible. Remember in Acts, you know, Paul was on the ship and there was the storm and everyone was afraid they were going to die. And so an angel shows up and says, hey, it's okay. Don't be afraid. Okay, you and your crew, you're going to be safe. Now, Holy Spirit himself could have told Paul that they were going to be safe, but he chose to use an angel, right? And we see the exact same thing. How about Revelation? 22 chapters of angelic interaction. You know, Jesus himself could have given John that tour of heaven, because Jesus was right there, right? Remember, it says in the first chapter of Revelation, there's John, there's the angel, and there's Jesus. Jesus could have easily given John the tour of heaven, but he's like, let's have the angel. That'll be great, because that's how God chooses to work. He created angels as part of the spiritual landscape, and so he wants us to interact with them, not be blind to them or overlook them. You know, what about Peter? We know in Acts, Peter, he kept getting himself thrown into jail, right? And more than once, it was an angel that broke him out of jail, right? I mean, God himself could have opened the jail doors and let him out. Instead, he sent an angel. So we see, as we renew ourselves to the mind of Christ by just reading the word, and oh, wow, angels, over and over again. Like we talked this weekend, there's so many things that happen in dreams, and we kind of realize, oh, we didn't never realize these significant things happen in dreams. Well, when we read our Bibles, it's like, oh, I didn't realize it was actually an angel that did that. It was an angel that said that. It was an angel that, wow, that was a miracle that helped break Peter out of prison. So we want to actually look at that story to see what we can learn about angels from that passage of scripture. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Acts 12. Acts 12, and there's some pretty cool things we can learn here. We'll start in verse 1. Acts 12, verse 1. It says, now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. It was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. Verse 5. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. And on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter's side and roused him, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And he did. He said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you. Follow me." And he went out and continued to follow, and he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. And when they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Verse 11, now when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people were expecting." And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where there were many gathered together and praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her joy, she didn't open the gate, but she ran in and announced Peter was standing in front of the gate. And they said, "Oh, you're out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, "It's his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. Huh. Now, this is a pretty interesting passage of scripture, and we can learn some awesome principles about the angelic realm. And number one, we see that prayer moves angels. Okay, prayer moves angels because the disciples were gathered together praying fervently, right? We see this in other places of scripture. Cornelius, right? He was giving alms to God, and his prayers and his alms rose up to God, and then God sent the angel to Cornelius and said, "Hey, go meet up with Peter so you can learn how to get saved." You know, so prayer moved the angels, right? And we see the same thing even in the Old Testament with Gabriel. Gabriel told Daniel, "I have come because of your words." Okay, so we see prayer moves angels, and that's absolutely what happened here. And it's a little bit encouraging because apparently even faithless prayer can move some angels because they didn't really even expect Peter to get out of prison because when he showed up, they were surprised. They didn't even believe it. So sometimes God in his mercy and his compassion, okay, will even answer prayers that don't have a lot of faith. So he's a good God. But it's really interesting. What I like so much, we have a brand new book, hot off the press, Everyday Angels, How to Encounter, Experience, Engage Angels in Everyday Life. And I wanted to just, this is the cover of it, and I wanted you guys to see this cover. Because see how the angel is not really solid. He's kind of transparent. You can see him, but you can see right through him. And this is how we see angels. We see them with our spiritual eyes. Yes, there are seers in the body of Christ, and they can see, and that's awesome, and they can see really clearly. But you know what? Even though we're not all seers, we can still all see because we all have spiritual eyes. Ephesians 1:18, Paul prayed that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened. So we can all see because we have spiritual eyes. So when we want to see angels, we want to look with our spiritual eyes into the spiritual realm to find these spiritual beings that are here and all around us. So when we do that, it's going to look more like this. It's not going to be so concrete, so tangible as this three-dimensional world. And that's fine because the thing about angels is they're spirits. Okay, so they're not going to be three-dimensional like us. It's not how God created, but it's just as real. It's just as valid. So those like faint impressions in your imagination, you know, we want to honor that. Those hazy images. Some of the most respected prophets, they say that is how they see, but they've just learned to honor it instead of discounting it or disregarding it, writing it off, oh, it's just my imagination. No, they honor it. This is a vision from God, and this is what it looks like. And so sometimes I say, I describe it as, you know, it's the idea of an angel. That's what it is. The same way that you see like your favorite vacation memory. Maybe in your mind's eye, you can picture that favorite restaurant or maybe that beach. Okay, it's not as clear and tangible as what's right in front of you, but it's still pretty clear in your mind's eye. Okay, so that's what we're talking about. That's what it's going to look like. And how can I say that? How can I say that so confidently? Well, number one, I've been seeing my angels since I was 4 years old, and that's a long time. And as I've traveled around, I ask people, how do the angels look to you? You know, and I'll say, are they concrete or are they, you know, more transparent? And when I say that, they're like, that is the word. That's the word that describes it, transparent. And so we can be very comfortable with this, confident with this, because that's actually what Scripture says too. This is one of my most favorite revelations about angels is right here in this passage that we just read. Because here we have got an angel. There is a bright light shining, okay? Bright light shining. Okay, the angel is striking Peter. Get up, okay? Striking him. So he's seeing a bright light. He's being struck by the angel. And the angel is saying, come on, get up. So he's seeing, he's hearing, he's feeling. We assume this is so concrete. Obviously, this must be happening in the natural world, in the physical dimension, he's seeing with his natural eyes. But look at what it says in verse 9. Of Acts 12, verse 9, it says, Peter went out and continued to follow, and he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real. He thought he was just seeing a vision. So this is so encouraging to us. The things, well, it doesn't seem that real. It's just a vision. Well, there's no such thing as just a vision because this vision, it changed his whole life, right? Because he honored this hazy image, this faint impression that he thought was just a vision because he honored it and lived to it and obeyed the angel that came to him. Okay, he gets out of prison. So if God can use that to change Peter's life, he can absolutely do the same thing to change our lives as well. And it's not just the only time in Scripture it says this. We won't turn there, but just jot down the references in Daniel 7:1 and Daniel 7:15. Daniel says the exact same thing. We know he's this awesome visionary prophet dreamer, right? We assume, oh, his vision's wit. They must be out here. He's seeing them with his natural eyes. No, over and over, Daniel tells us, the visions I saw in my mind. The visions in my mind. And then he explains. Okay, so it doesn't have to be out here to be real. Okay, Jesus said, okay, Luke 17:21, the kingdom of heaven, it's within you. So if we want to see it, we can use our spiritual eyes and look within ourselves, in our mind, in our hearts. Eternity is in our hearts. So that's all we're about. God is in us. The kingdom of heaven is in us. Eternity is in us. We can look around inside of us, in our spirits, in our hearts, for everything that we want to see. Okay? So those faint impressions are valid. God is using them. The spirit realm is more real, right? We don't look at the things that are seen. We look at the things that are unseen, because the things that are seen are temporary and the things that are unseen are eternal. So we choose to live to that realm. So we understand prayer moves angels, number one. We understand that these faint impressions, they are valid. Okay, when we honor them, those things that are just angelic visions, they can change our lives. And then number three, it's really interesting. How common of an occurrence must it have been for them to see angels? When Peter himself shows up at the door and they're like, oh, it couldn't possibly be Peter. You know, it just must be his angel. And then nobody even like went to the door to like check and see. Oh, it's just his angel? Well, let's at least see his angel, right? That would be cool. We'd all be running over to the door. Let's see Peter's angel. Nobody even moves. So how common of an occurrence? They're comfortable with this. This is a realm that they're living into. They understand that God created the angelic spiritual realm to just intersect with ours all of the time. So we just want to answer a few questions about angels this morning. And I think we have a PowerPoint for it. Yeah, awesome. Okay, so who are angels? What do they do? And who do they do it for? Who are angels? What do they do? And who do they do it for? And there's an awesome verse of scripture that answers every one of these questions for us. Okay, blockbuster verse. And it opens up all kinds of revelation about God's intention for angels in our lives. And this is Hebrews 1:14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So, who are they? Okay, in verse 13 and verse 14, in the Greek, this word for angels, it's angelon. It actually means messengers. They're messengers, okay? They bring messages from God. This is their title. This is their function. This is their role for a lot of them. So we understand that they're communicative beings, obviously. If their name means messenger, we should not be surprised if they show up and bring us a message from God, if they say something to us, because that's what their name means. So number one, we understand they're messengers. That's who they are. What do? Well, they serve us. They assist. They serve and assist. And that word for service, for serve in the Greek, that's diakonian. And that just means servants, like waiters, okay? That kind of serving and waiting, assisting. And it's actually the root word where we get our English word deacon. Okay, you know how we have deacons in the church and they just help things run smoothly? They assist and help with whatever needs help with? Well, that's what some of these angels are in the spirit realm, okay? They're the deacons in the kingdom of heaven and they just help things run smoothly. So they are communicative beings, these messengers from God. They're ministering spirits sent to serve and assist. And who are they serving and assisting? Us, right? Those who inherit salvation. Okay, so obviously if God is sending them to serve and assist us, you know, his heart is not for us to just ignore them or overlook them, right? Marginalize their service and assistance. We honor God by honoring the ministering spirits that he sends to bless us. And, you know, it's amazing. You know, we might think, well, I have God, you know, so I have the Holy Spirit. I don't need angels. But you know what? Jesus himself received angelic ministry. And in Matthew 4:11, angels came and ministered to Jesus. Okay, Jesus is God. If there's anybody who doesn't need angelic ministry, if there's anyone who can get away with doing it on his own, it would be him. All right? But if even Jesus himself receives the ministry of angels, how much more so do we, right? Jesus is our model. Jesus is our example. Our lives are supposed to match his. So guess what? That means we're going to have angels come and they're going to minister to us because that's what they did for Jesus. So I also really love this verse, minister to Jesus, and the previous verse where it says they served, because serve and minister, there's a lot of latitude in those words. You know, it doesn't say specifically how they served or how they ministered, because probably if scripture did that, we would say, well, angels can only do this one thing because that's what they did in scripture. So instead, God's like, oh, they ministered. Oh, they served. Because that gives us so much freedom to receive all kinds of help from angels, whatever we need service with, whatever we've got going on and need assistance with. All right, these verses apply, right? The ministering spirits came to serve and assist those who will inherit salvation. The angels came and ministered to Jesus. So we can say, whatever it is we need help with, all right, God, some angelic assistance would be awesome up in here right now. Okay? And we know that our words, our prayers, they move angels for sure. So what are then some of the different ways God shows us in Scripture that he wants to use angels to minister to us? Because whatever he did in the Bible, he wants to do in our lives as well. So we can look in Scripture and find what angels did and then take these as prophetic promises. Oh, that's how he used angels there. Well, okay, then he can use angels in our lives as well. And so there are examples for us. So let's look at number one. Angels guard us. Angels guard us. And the verse we have for this is Psalm 91, 11 and 12. And it says that he will give his angels charge concerning us to guard us in all our ways. They will lift us up in their hands so that we will not strike our foot against a stone. Okay, so this is probably the most famous angel verse, and this is awesome. We assume and understand the obvious. They are definitely going to protect our physical well-being. But you know what? My angels tell me that they are guardians of my laughter and protectors of my peace. So when they first told me that, I kind of questioned it. I'm like, hello, is that really important? Are we not like in a spiritual war here? Where are you guys on that? Okay, but then God, you know, and my angels, they started showing me, okay, righteousness, peace, and joy is the kingdom of God, right? What is the fruit of the Spirit? It's love and joy and peace. And we know, what is our armor for spiritual warfare even made of? We have a helmet of hope. We have a breastplate of faith and love, according to Thessalonians, and our feet are in peace. So we know angels help us in spiritual warfare. So what are we dressed up and protected and guarded in spiritual warfare? It's holy emotions of hope and love and peace. So that's why they're going to guard my peace, and that's why they're going to protect my joy and my laughter, because that's what protects me physically. It's what protects me emotionally. It's what protects me spiritually in every way. And so when we get to see this, wow, okay, God just, he can just shift these things around and show us what's so important to him. And so that's why God, through dreams and making sense of the crazy dreams at night, and also through angelic ministry, he's going to constantly just bring us back to a place of peace, bring us back to a place of joy, out of the stress and overwhelm, and they will guard us in all of our ways. So then the second way the angels can minister to us, number two, is they deliver prophetic promises to us. They deliver prophetic promises to us because we know, we learn they are communicative beings, right? Their name means messenger. So in Luke 1:13 says, but the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son and you'll give him the name John. Okay, so that's like a word of wisdom. That's a word of knowledge. That's definitely prophetic. It's about something in the future to come that he didn't know about. And angels know these things. They live in this realm outside of time, so they understand what's going on in the future. And God will give them messages to bring to us to let us know what's going on. So we absolutely can honor that, because that's what they did over and over in Scripture. They received prophetic promises from angels. Number three is that they enlighten us. And again, there are so many examples of this. The first six chapters we talked about of Zechariah, it is a back and forth conversation between Zechariah and the angel who is talking to him. Okay, and so the really cool verse we have, Zechariah 1:9, Zechariah says, hey, what are these, my Lord? And the angel who was talking with me answered, I'll show you what they are. So he's seeing this vision. He doesn't understand what's going on. So we ask the angel. The angel enlightens him. And this kind of conversation, this went on over and over and over again in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah was overhearing angelic conversation, a conversation between two angels. He was listening to Jesus talk to angels. There is so many cool things going on with the angelic realm in Zechariah. And so we can learn, wow, if Zechariah did it, hey, we can do it too, right? It says that these things were written as examples for us, right? That's what the Bible says. So how about number four? Number four, a way that angels can minister to us is that they provide us with heavenly resources. And this is a story of Elijah. Remember, he had the run-in with Ahab and Jezebel. He was depressed. He was hungry. He kind of wanted to die. So God was really practical. He met his physical need. An angel touched him and said, get up and eat. So he looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. Okay, so the angel brought him dinner. Hallelujah for angels to take care of dinner. Okay, this is my favorite one. So, and it just didn't happen one time. This happened two times, right? And then he went to sleep after he ate this. Then he wakes up. The angel brings him more food, more drink. And then he goes on the strength of this food for 40 days. Okay, so we see that angels, they can bring us heavenly resources. Whatever we need, God has it in heaven. All right? All healing, all provision, all resources, whatever we have going on and are lacking, well, there's no lack in heaven. So God can send his angels to bring us that provision, that resource, and that blessing, because that's what he did for Elijah, and that's what he can do for you as well. So how about number five? Number five is actually my most favorite one, and that's partner with us in evangelism. This is kind of like I talked about with the smuggling Bibles, but it says in Acts 8:26 through 40, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch. All right, so we know this story, right? The Ethiopian eunuch just happened to be reading in Isaiah, right? And so Philip's like, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And he's like, how can I, unless somebody explains it to me? And so he explains how Jesus is the fulfillment of these Old Testament prophecies. And so the Ethiopian eunuch is like, this is awesome. He wanted to get saved. He's like, there's some water. What's preventing me from being baptized? So he gets saved, and then the gospel gets taken to Ethiopia. Why? Because Philip obeyed the angel. They came to him and said, go here and do this. Okay, so again, they're co-laboring, they're cooperating together. It's us and the company of heaven accomplishing that great co-mission. Okay, that's God's heart. That's what it's about for sure. Number six is that they will communicate revelation to us. And there are so many examples of this, but a really clear one, we sort of touched on it, Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place, he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John. Again, it's pretty interesting because Jesus was right there. Okay, it was Jesus and John and the angel. And instead of Jesus communicating the revelation personally to John, he's like, let's have the angel do it. They're communicative beings. They're messengers. This is their job, okay? So this is how God wants to use angels. This is how he worked in the Old Testament. He worked in the New Testament. And whatever God was doing with John and with Philip and with Zechariah, he wants to do in your life as well. So how about number seven? Number seven is rescue us. And this we did look at. An angel of the Lord appeared, a light shone in the cell. See, he struck him. There's so much going on. Struck him on the side, woke him up. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Hence, he got out of jail, right? He got out of prison, and that's how angels can help us. They can rescue us when we listen to them. When we honor their messages, when we do what they say, okay? That's how it works for Peter. They rescued him. How about number eight? Number eight is a really extraordinary one. Angels will bring us healing from God. Angels will bring us healing from God, and I love hearing Pastor Dave's testimony about this. It's so good, and this is a scriptural example. We have John 5:4, an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water, and whoever went in first after the stirring up the water, up of the water, they stepped in and they were made well from whatever disease with which they were afflicted. Okay? So whatever disease that we're afflicted with, guess what? God has the healing in heaven, and he can send an angel as a carrier of that healing, just like us. We are carriers of God's healing, and then we give God all the praise and the honor and the glory. And just like we carry God's healing, angels can absolutely carry that healing and blessing to us. We don't want to limit the ways that God can heal us, the ways he can bless us and provide for us. How about number nine? Another incredible passage is in Matthew 2:13. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He said, get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Now, this is pretty amazing, okay? If we understand what is going on, all right, Jesus is on a rescue mission from heaven to save humanity from their sins. Okay, but Jesus is still a little baby, and there's a crazed murderer out to kill him. Now, if Jesus dies as a baby, he's not going to grow up. So he can't die on the cross. He can't be raised from the dead. We can't receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the whole rescue mission is a train wreck if Jesus dies when he's a baby. And now there's Jesus, the earthly father. There's Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. He needs to keep Jesus alive. It's his responsibility to protect him. So God is giving Joseph instructions of how to escape Herod. Okay, move to Egypt. to get away from him. You would think for something this important, you know what? God might want to deliver these instructions to Joseph personally, right? Instead, he uses an angel. And the stakes are so high. My goodness, it's so important. You would think God might want Joseph awake for this. Such critical directions. Ah, let's just do it at night while he's asleep in a dream with an angel. Okay, so that's the revelation that God honors dreams, God honors angels. Therefore, we honor dreams and we honor angels as well. Number 10 is that they strengthen us. Angels strengthen us. And this is a pretty awesome verse, Luke 22:43. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Do we know who this is talking about? It's Jesus. Angels strengthen Jesus? Come on. The story, this is, he's in Gethsemane, right? He's asked the disciples, his friends, guys, come and pray with me. Do they pray? No, they fall asleep, right? Could you not tarry 1 hour? Nope, they couldn't. Okay, so sometimes when our friends let us down, okay, when the people that we trust to be there for us, they disappoint us, well, guess what? The company of heaven, they got our backs, okay? Our angelic bodyguards and friends, they're not gonna let us down. Okay, we're their assignment, and they serve God well by taking good care of us. And just like they strengthen Jesus, come on, if he's receiving the ministry of angels, how much more so do we absolutely need and want to receive angelic ministry as well? Number 11 is that they instruct us. And this is a cool verse from Daniel 9:21-23. Gabriel, an angel whom I had seen in the vision previously, he came. He gave me instructions and talked with me and said, Daniel, I've now come forth to give you insight with understanding. So there is so much going on in these verses. Okay, and everything that Daniel did with the angel, we can do with angels. Okay, that's what we're trying to wrap our minds and hearts around. All the things God did in Scripture through the ministry of angels, that's for us too. So we can receive instruction from angels. We can talk with angels, right? We can receive insight from angels and we can gain understanding from angels. We know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So again, everything he was doing in Scripture, he wants to do in our lives because the Bible is not just a book of old stories. The Bible is meant to be lived. Amen? Amen. So number 12 is a fun one. They assist in our relationships. Did you guys know there are matchmaking angels? Some of you might want to pray into Genesis 24:7. He will send his angel ahead of you and he will see to it that you find a wife there for my son. So this is Abraham. He's trying to find Rebecca, right? He's trying to find Rebecca for Isaac. And so he enlisted the service of some angels. So that's a possibility for you. Number 13, they surround us with protection. Psalm 34:7 says that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. So they set up camp, guys. They're not going anywhere. Encamps around us, this is like a military term. You know how the army will come in and they'll set up like a perimeter around the camp to protect it. That's what the angels of God do for us. So we understand this just removes fear. When we understand there's an angelic encampment, army protecting us, our families, our finances, our health, our ministries, our businesses. They've set up camp around us. They're not going anywhere. And number 14, they will explain God's ways to us. Now, this is about Mary, all right? The situation is an angel shows up and says, hey, you're going to have God's kid. And she's like, what is up with that? Okay, and that's where we pick this up. In Luke 1:34, Mary said to the angel, how can this be? I'm still a virgin. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Now, I find this so interesting because here's this thing going on and she has questions and she doesn't understand and she needs explanation of it. And instead of asking God, God, what is up with that? You're putting your kid inside of me? No. She asked the angel. Right, so this is an example, again, another one of a back and forth conversation between a person and an angel. And again, if it's acceptable for Mary, it's acceptable for us. She could have asked God. Instead, she asks the angel. The angel replies. Then Mary says back to the angel, well, may it be done to me according to your word. And then the angel blesses her and they carry on. So that is, again, another example that, again, if they do it in the Bible, this is what we can do. This is a model. Our lives are going to match this. And then the last one, 15, they encourage and comfort us. Then this one with human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. Oh, man of high esteem, don't be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now, as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength and said, may my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Okay, so again, there is so much angelic ministry going on. This sounds kind of like Jesus. He was strengthened by the angels. Okay, and so just the same way that the angel helped Daniel not be afraid, the angel brought Daniel peace, just like my angels tell me they are protectors of my peace. Well, that's what it's talking about, right? They encourage us. They comfort us. Angels will absolutely do this for you because that's what they did for Daniel. And that's the old covenant. If he's receiving all these blessings from the ministry of angels in the old covenant, how many know in the new covenant it's a better covenant with even better promises? Right, we're definitely receiving all this kind of angelic ministry and strengthening and blessing. And so this is the way that God wants to use angels. And I just want you guys to really start praying into these verses. I'll let you know these things that we just went through. We've got books and CDs and DVDs in the back. But the one thing I think you should all get is this 15 Ways Angels Minister to Us card. And it's got all of these verses that we just went through, all the different ways. This thing is just like $2, okay? It's even got a prayer of activation, of declaration, of how to release them, to activate the angels in your lives. So you can begin to pray these verses and make it a reality in your own life. And on here is my ministry website. You guys, we just put up an angelic activation. If you want to do this, I lead you in a visionary meditation. We meet with Jesus and we ask him if he'd like to make any angelic introductions, okay? And people are meeting their guardian angels. We are receiving crazy, amazing testimonies. If you want to do that, it's free. It's like a 22-minute meditation on my website. It's glorywaves.org/angels. It'll take you right to that 20-minute activation. And I just want to close with two quick testimonies just to encourage you. I had taught on this, the ways angels minister to us, and it was with a group of people. And there was a lady, Anne, and her family member had just gone into the hospital and he was really sick. And I had just said, well, hey, God can use angels to bring healing. That's what they did in John 5:4. And she's like, okay, and I'm going to do what Charity said. You know, I need to look in the spirit. I can see what I can see. And so she did. As she's praying the verses God had given her to pray about healing, she looks in the spirit and she sees in the hospital room two big angels with her relative. And she starts praying into that vision. She's observing it, okay, to collapse that healing. That's what we talked about this weekend. And she's putting the observer effect to work for her. But she prays into the vision. She just agrees with what she sees in the vision. She says, yes, Lord, thank you for your angels that are bringing your heavenly healing power to my relative. And she prayed until she felt peace in her heart. And guess what? That relative had a complete shift. Immediately. Okay, they had gone from telling him, you know what, this person, they're probably not even going to survive. And if they do survive, they're not going to function. You know, they're not going to be able to breathe on their own. They're not going to be able to speak. Okay, and just like this, they're breathing on their own. They're speaking. Total transformation, total miracle. And I thought that was awesome, but it gets even better. So I had actually recorded that. I teach through this on the DVDs. And on our ministry, we show free video sessions every month. If you sign up for our newsletter, you get the free teaching. So they got to watch all the angel videos. So they saw me teach through the 15 ways. And then this lady, who's actually from Pennsylvania, okay, then she saw this testimony. I just shared it, just like I said, just like I did here with Anne. And I said, see, God can do this. If he did it for Anne, he can do it for you too, right? And so she saw this and she's like, oh my goodness, this parallels exactly something that just happened with a friend's sister. And I just want to quickly read an email and I'm going to close with this. It's the very last thing, but it's such an anointed testimony and it's going to give you glory bumps. I'm so excited to share this with you, okay? And this just came in like literally like 10 days ago. So it's so awesome. So Susan wrote this and she emailed and she had posted this on Facebook and then she emailed it to me. She's like, well, my friend's sister was working at an all-night gas station and she was waiting on a customer at 3:00 in the morning and had a major seizure. And she'd never had one before, but when she did, her head fell and hit the counter. Well, the man that was waiting, that she had been waiting on, he rushed to her aid as her airways closed. Well, this man was a neurologist. geologist, and he had come to Pennsylvania for just a short time from like 900 miles away. So he was there right when he was needed. So how marvelous is our God? They called the paramedics, excellent care from them too, rushed her to the hospital, and they found, due to the head trauma from the fall, her brain was bleeding. There was swelling in the brain. She was ventilated because she was not able to breathe on her own, and she was placed into an induced coma. As the week wore on, they were very concerned that she was still not responsive or breathing on her own. Then she develops pneumonia. So she's in and out of consciousness. No progress is taking place. You know, the doctors are very concerned. They're working as hard as they can, you know, and lots of people were praying. So on Friday, and this is just like two Fridays ago, I was listening to teachings by Charity Kayembe on the angelic realm, Everyday Angels. She told of a medical case that in many ways paralleled the case of my friend's sister. She told how angels were there and how the lady named Anne partnered with the angels and prayed into bringing a healing. And that person had a miraculous recovery. Well, as soon as I heard that testimony, I began praying for this to be so with our friend Beth. I praised God for his healing angels, and immediately I saw a vision of an angel in her hospital room. As I looked over toward the hospital bed of my friend's sister, I saw another angel. He was leaning over her. He began to make some adjustments on the machine, and he moved a tube in her chest area. It was as though he reached inside of her and made the changes. Then he placed his hand on her upper chest. Everything turned bright white except for skin tones and hair color. The vision ended. I immediately texted my friend and I told her to pray into the vision, come into agreement with God and what he's doing. Praise God. Within hours, this lady is off the ventilator and fully aware. She's now breathing on her own. By the next morning, within 24 hours, she's up and sitting on a chair, talking like her normal self. And by Sunday, she's walking in the hallways. Total turnaround, total miracle. Yes, give the Lord a hand. He is so good. He's so good. Yay, God. Awesome. So I just want to close us out in prayer, thanking God for his ministry of angels, the awesome idea he came up with angels. So we are so grateful to him. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for these ministering spirits that you have sent to render service and assistance to us who inherit salvation. God, if we have not honored their service and assistance, we repent for that. We see what you want to do through angels, and we are so excited. We are so grateful. God, everything you did with Zechariah and with John and even with Jesus himself, God, these are prophetic promises for us. We want them for ourselves. We have a holy jealousy for all that you have for us, God, all of the gifts, and the angels are, they are gifts from you. We thank you that your word says that your angels encamp round about us. God, we thank you that your word says that you have given your angels charge over us to guard us in all of our ways. So God, we thank you for your angels that bring us enlightenment. We thank you for angels that bring us instruction. We thank you for your angels that warn us, just like with Joseph. We thank you for your angels that bring us revelation, just like they did with John. We thank you for your angels that bring us supernatural provision and resources from heaven, just like with Elijah. God, we thank you for your angels that explain things to us, just like they did with Mary. God, we are so excited to learn to live into this realm. And I just pray for each and every one here today that their spiritual eyes would be open to see this supernatural reality that is all around us, the kingdom of heaven that is not far off. It's not 5 million light years away. It is not in the future. You said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven has come near us. The kingdom of heaven is within us. God, we just thank you so much for the beautiful gift of these amazing ministering spirits that serve us and assist us. And we are so grateful that they just bring us your love. They bring us your blessing, God. They bring us your provision. And we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory for this, God. God, we are so crazy in love with you. We bless you and we honor you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Christ Community Church's Message of the Week. For more information, contact us at 717-761-2933 or on the web at christcc.org.